Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
And time for the week in health. See if we can get some good information out to you this week, like we always do, with Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern Medicine's Kishwaukee Hospital. Dr. Silver, good morning to you, sir. How are you?
Good morning to you, Dean. How are you?
Doing very well. So I was reading an article this morning of how there is testing that is going on for the bird flu right now. I thought we were done with bird flu years ago. Can you bring us up to date on what it is, number one? What's going on? Are we expecting, something with going on related to bird flu?
Dean, bird flu is for the birds. That's really my take on all this.
Yes.
It's a virus. It's an influenza virus that currently comes from birds. Is spread by birds, but is now affecting a variety of animals. Most people are aware that it started in dairy cows, but has spread to skunks and mountain lions and even cats. There is no human-to-human spread that is known at this point in time, which is a great thing. Right now, there's only four people that have contracted it, and it's all been from the exposure to the cattle, and one person was exposed to the poultry, but that was back in 2022. So you're talking four cases in 3 years. But I think we're now kind of surveilling for that human-to-human spread, and hopefully it doesn't occur. But these sorts of viruses are mutating constantly in our midst, and this is why we have agencies like the CDC that are doing the testing and keeping an eye on things.
So I'm a little concerned when you say that it can be spread through cattle, because we have, we humans have a lot of interaction in terms of the ingestion of cattle in many different ways, not only in eating the meat, but through milk, et cetera, milk which is pasteurized. Does bird flu stand up to pasteurization? Let's start off with.
It does not. So pasteurized milk is safe. It kills bacteria and viruses. Now, unpasteurized milk is a horse of a different color, so to speak.
Cow of a different color, yeah, right.
but not good kind. So I would not be drinking milk on a farm that just came from the cow. I think, in the old days we did that. I know I've done it in my childhood, and it was always thought to be, safe and natural. But in today's day and age, it's just not advisable. You mentioned meat, cooking beef, to an internal temperature of 160 if it's ground beef, and then whole cuts of beef, really the recommendation is 145 degrees. And then certainly poultry needs to be cooked all the way through to 165 degrees Fahrenheit.
Now, is this something that we should be concerned with when we see, these beautiful flocks of birds that are, then we're like, oh, look how nice they are. We see birds in the backyard, and oh, look how pretty they are. I mean, is that how this is being spread?
My understanding is that it's birds in close proximity to each other, like, flocks of chicken that are living in cages, and viruses can spread avidly in those populations. But I'll be perfectly honest, when I look out and I see the nice robin sitting on my front yard, I have no idea. Because they're carriers of the virus doesn't mean that they're infected, and so you'd have no way of knowing. But I think, just a rule of thumb is, just keep your distance from wild animals.
Yeah.
Now, the people that are contracting bird flu from birds are, places like Southeast Asia, where it's not uncommon, to kind of have chickens walking in and out of the home. It's just the different standard of living.
Right.
And in those scenarios, I think I would want to advise caution.
Okay. Now, the fact that poultry now is affected also, similar types of questions for the ingestion of chickens, eggs, et cetera. Should humans be careful when taking all of that in with this bird flu opportunity, which is out there right now?
Yeah, so I think, my understanding is most eggs at the supermarket are pasteurized. But again, back to the farm fresh eggs and whether or not those are safe, I'm not certain that I would venture there right now at this point in time, just me personally.
No.
But I have, maybe a lower risk threshold than most given my job vocation. But eggs at the supermarket, meat that's fully cooked is not going to be an issue for folks.
Yeah,
I would just emphasize that the people that have gotten infected, they're working, they're breathing in the droplets of moisture from the cows. They're right in proximity, right in front of the cow's face, and they're breathing back and forth the same air. So if the cow is infected, it's just only expected that a certain number of people would also become infected. And by the way, we know of three people, and they all recovered, incidentally. There was a death in Mexico. It was a totally different strain of bird flu that we're seeing here in the United States, or totally unrelated. So nobody's died. And that, my question is, how many people have had it? They've quote unquote been infected but had zero symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a larger number. So I think at this point, there's no need for panic, but I think it just underscores the importance of having these public health networks in place so that we can continue to monitor for these things.
What are the symptoms for this? If somebody, may have somehow become exposed, is it like any other virus, like a flu virus or a COVID or something like that?
It is, because it's an influenza virus, it's H5N1. The H and the N just signify proteins on the virus. And so that's how the scientists kind of, the taxonomy of the diseases. So every kind of flu gets its own coding system. But yes, fever, cough, fatigue, muscle aches, sore throat, runny nose. With the bird flu, specifically this strain, there was information that made us think that conjunctivitis might be a leading symptom. So I think all of the people that had it had some form of conjunctivitis. So, typical viral symptoms.
And what should somebody do if they're experiencing symptoms like this? See a doctor? Wait it out?
Yeah.
What's the best to do?
I think the best thing to do is, if you're an adult and you develop conjunctivitis, I would go get that looked at. Particularly, if let's say you went and did a petting zoo, for instance, and then you started feeling sick. So, think about the exposure and then talk to your doctor. And, of course, if you have any concerning symptoms, either talk to your doctor or come see us in the emergency room. We're happy to take a look at you.
Now, maybe most people know. I don't think I do. What is conjunctivitis?
It's an irritation of the tissues around the front of the eye that kind of line the underside of the eyelid. It's kind of, if you pull down your eyelid and you see that red, moist tissue,
yeah,
that's the conjunctiva. And it's just a protective layer of cells that helps kind of keep out viruses and bacteria from getting deep into the eye. And so it's one of the first structures to become infected in certain viruses and bacteria, of course. And so the symptoms would be redness, itching, burning, maybe blurred vision in both eyes, and certainly discharge, usually clear discharge, but sometimes yellow or green and gunky, kind of that gunky, wet, moist, pussy stuff that can develop in your eyes, kind of beyond the typical morning crust,
right,
would be signs of conjunctivitis.
I love when you use medical terms like gunky. 9:51, more with Dr. Jeremy Silver in a minute. 9:53, Dean Richards, Sunday morning, WGN. Coming up later in the show, three-time Emmy winner Laurie Metcalf talking with me about her new play at Steppenwolf. To an archived interview with Donald Sutherland later on. Right now, Dr. Jeremy Silver from Kishwaukee Hospital, The Week in Health. Doctor, we were talking at the beginning of the program how Ryan Sandberg, Cubs legend, Baseball Hall of Famer, is going to be honored at Wrigley Field today with a statue. Today is the 40th anniversary of the famous Ryan Sandberg Day. It all coincides with Rhino completing cancer treatment. In January, he disclosed that he was battling metastatic prostate cancer. He has completed his chemotherapy. Can you tell us a little bit about metastatic prostate cancer? I know metastatic means that it spreads, right? And, you know, you don't want to hear that with cancer.
No, certainly not. Although prostate cancer, of all the cancers, it's one of the ones where if you're told that you have it, you're probably thinking, okay, I got a decent shot at getting through this. And my understanding is that he is currently cancer-free, which is outstanding. So the prostate is, you know, a tiny little gland the size of a walnut that basically is the WD-40 of the male reproductive system. It's essentially is generates lubricant. And, you know, as we get older, as men get older, generally over 50, but between 55 and 69 is the sweet spot for diagnosis, we're more likely to develop these cancers. And a majority of prostate cancer is a slow-growing, easily treatable variety. And many folks, you know, even 15 years after initial diagnosis are still doing quite well.
Is that the treatment where they would put pellets into the prostate to treat it, like right on top of where the cancer was found?
Yes, there's a variety of treatments for prostate cancer. You know, there's hormone therapy where you target the testosterone production, which helps the cancer grow, and so blocking testosterone then blocks the cancer. There's robotic surgery. There's radiation therapy, as you mentioned, where they do put radioactive seeds in the prostate that locally kills the cancer without destroying the other organs. And then there's other radiation delivery techniques where they can shoot a stream of protons at the cancer or x-rays even. There's just a variety of ways of going after it in a targeted fashion.
Yeah. Are certain men more likely to get prostate cancer than others?
Yes. So, you know, again, the over 50 crowd automatically raises the risk, as I mentioned. It's more common in African-American men than other races. It's more common in folks that have a family history of prostate cancer. So if your dad had it or your brother had it, that makes it more likely. And then diet is a big one. So, you know, eating lots of unhealthy foods and processed foods are thought to potentially contribute to it. And then obesity, so being overweight, is a risk factor.
All right, something to be aware of. Dr. Jeremy Silver, Medical Director, Emergency Medicine, Northwestern's Kishwaukee Hospital. Hope you have a great Sunday, Doc. Thank you so much.
Likewise, Dean. Take care.